Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman at the helm, film investigator, researcher, my son Joe Hagman, together, something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. That's a Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you so much for being with us.
Folks, did you know there was a primary yesterday?
Oh, there was. They're 24-7, I think.
Okay. Yeah, yesterday Washington State held its Republican primary.
Yep.
And Donald Trump secured 40 delegates, winning 76% of the vote, putting his delegate count at 1209, just a few shy of the 1237, with what looks like five states left to go: California, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. All are winner take all states except New Mexico. And it looks like he will secure the 1237 needed for the GOP nomination. Now, whether that gets him the nomination or not, that's another question.
As we look upon the landscape of the elections, and again, we need to understand that other candidates are in the running, are on the ballot. The different Constitution Party and such, and Tom Hoefling, who we had on as a guest. Mm-hmm. Now, we do have options out there, all right? But looking at this, and God can certainly work miracles, all right? But as we look upon the geopolitical landscape, it certainly appears that right now Trump is the presumptive nominee on the Republican side and Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side. Let me just come right out and say this. I don't believe, come election day, that we're going to see this. There is something so wrong taking place right before our very eyes and right under our noses. I'm not sure that we are going to come out of this election unscathed. In fact, I don't believe we will. And when we see the riots, they're not protests, they're riots. This is not an exercise of freedom of speech. This is an exercise of destruction. And when you start to follow the money, that's, and I remember giving a talk a couple of years ago, and I said follow the money, and there was a question from the audience, and the gentleman says, well, what do you mean follow the money? And it was, he legitimately asked this question, follow the money, what do you mean by that? Well, obviously, you've got to follow, who is paying for the signs? Who's paying for the hotel rooms? Because, you know, the dirt bags that occupy these hotel rooms and will probably trash them anyway. you know, with the multiple piercing, the piercings, the tattoos, and holding up,
You're talking about protesters?
Yeah, I'm talking about protesters. And lobbyists. But, you know, they're not doing it on their own dime. So who's paying for this? Well, obviously, you've got the George Soroses of the world for Black Lives Matter and other organizations. And I stand by what I wrote back in 2013 to say that the criminal elements within our government are, in fact, ginning up a civil war, civil unrest. Yeah. Okay. And I said it 3-4 years ago, and I was just through a source of mine saying, look, the government is actually doing this.
And it was not even, it was specific in nature as it went through different ways it could be done, right? Economically, racially.
Mm. And it's being done on all those lines. But, you know, people say just because it didn't happen the next day, oh boy, is he wrong? Is he an idiot? And you know, no. Look, this, we are being set up for the summer, not of discontent, not the summer of love, obviously, but the summer of hate, the summer of riots, the summer of not protests, but the summer of destruction. Cities will burn, I believe. This is my view now. Cities will burn. And much like the assassinations of RFK and Martin Luther King and back in the 60s, you're going to see this play out again. I'm not calling for it. I'm just saying I sense that we are in that same arena, that same mindset, except the people who are playing on the other side, the perpetrators of this, they're the ones. Well, let me back up and say the people from the 60s who were boots on the ground in the 60s are the ones that are actually paying for and assisting the boots on the ground today. And they've refined their tactics. America is looking more and more like a banana republic, a third world country, whether you want to believe it or that your neighbor wants to believe it or not. This is what's taking place today. You're going to see, I believe, unparalleled destruction in cities before, during, and after the conventions. You're going to see arrests on a mass scale. You're going to see punks going up against the police.
Can't repeat it enough. Never let a good crisis go to waste.
That's right.
Is the motto of this administration.
And if you live in and around these cities, whether it be Cleveland or Philly, or any big city, please prepare yourself for civil unrest and for supply disruptions, because you know how fragile our infrastructure is, the infrastructure of the logistics and such. It makes a big difference when you have to go around a city.
And forget civil unrest, just, you know, one hurricane, one big hurricane, yeah. One, you know, long rain that builds up to a flood. You know, tornadoes taking out the power grid in your town. These things are realities in this country every day that happen, not even in our country, but across the world. We are just so unprepared to live a life without the comforts of what we have in our society through the technology. We have to go back to the basics. And whether it's a national disaster or a localized emergency, wouldn't you rather be in a position to not only help yourself and your family, but those around you, rather than having to worry about where your meals are going to come from, where you're going to get your drinking water from? Wouldn't you want all that peace of mind?
I would hope so. But see, the eye-centric aspect of this, the iPhones, the iPads, the i-this, the i-that, it's a social engineering type of programming where we're all, or not us necessarily, but there are many out there who are just, who are so, egocentric, set on themselves, where, hey, I've got mine, too bad for you, and that's kind of the attitude out there. And we see this a lot, and I'm sorry, but we see this a lot in Christian movements, you know, I've got mine, too bad for you. We see this a lot with Christians who are, as I call them, ankle biters, who will go after other Christians for trying to help, you know, within the, to help others. And you see, we've got to stop this. And we've got to stop going after the people, or we've got to all stop. And if we are on truly on the same side, then we must be on the same side, and we must play like we're on the same side, on the same team. Because when you have discord in a team, you're not going to win. Or if you do win, it'll be, you know, it'll be a bloody mess. So what we have to realize, and I think today it's more important now than more than ever. Start looking at your friends. I got a saying, you know, keep your friends close and your enemies under surveillance. Okay. Keep your friends close and your enemies under surveillance. But anyway, folks, now is the time, I believe, where you're going to have to look at your colleagues, your friends, your extended family, and all the people around you. And it's sad to say this, but you're going to have to really make some decisions as to who you can trust and who you can't. Because some of the, and think about this, what if, and put it this way. I mean, I guess those of us who grew up on episodes of The Twilight Zone, you know what happens when you prepare and others don't for a disaster, right? And others know you've prepared. What happens? Suddenly that friendship turns into a dependence, and then that dependence, all of a sudden they go after their so-called friends. Yeah. And think for a minute. Think, go back to the Nazi Germany environment, where you had people turning in others, and I believe this to be the case now, where you will have people turning on others for their 30 pieces of silver or maybe a loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm. If you, there's a person out there with a child.
Mm-hmm.
Or a wife, and they have no food and water, and no way of gathering the food and water, unless it means selling you out.
No,
and they're starving.
Yeah.
How long are they going to allow themselves to starve to death for the benefit of keeping you safe? It's even if it was your family, cousins, siblings.
And even those people. Again, I would urge everyone to really take inventory, take stock of who you talk to and who you don't. And I certainly would not tell people, well, yeah, I've got a stockpile of food in a storage facility down on, 23rd and Main. Okay. I wouldn't do that. You know, or, you know, we have a meetup point at, such and such a place in the event of something does happen. Or we have, you know, just be careful of who you trust, because those people who claim to have your back oftentimes will stab you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen this, we've experienced it. And it's unfortunate. It really is. And people are losing their minds today. If you just follow some of the lead stories, and we don't have to get into them all, look at the craziness going on out there. Look at the craziness.
And the normalization of craziness.
There you go. But look as well, and even more importantly, I think, when we talk about the craziness of the landscape, you have to understand that this is being orchestrated. We are being gamed through social engineering. I had the pleasure today of speaking with a longtime friend. Goes by the name of Archangel. He was one of the individuals with And we did a lot, provide a lot of information about terrorist threats to the FBI and other agencies, and he was a key man in providing a lot of, saved a lot of lives. And he's not in the country. And we were talking, and I said, you know, we'd love to have you on. He might come on. But, you know, he was the one who said, you got to get out. When we were infiltrating and we had done a lot to monitor and infiltrate Arabic language websites. And we kept bumping into CIA assets, FBI assets, agents. We'd turn over information. The information would never get processed. Suddenly, we were losing friends. When I say losing friends, we were losing people that people wouldn't talk to us. Oh, why? What's going on? And he summed it up nicely by saying, you know there's a problem, and you know we have to get out when you can't tell the enemy. You can't tell who the enemy is. Think about that for a moment. And see, that's where we're at today. Because the very people you think are your friends will not be or are not your friends. There is an insipid situation of espionage, of infiltration. Just about every organization that you can think of, patriotic organization, has been infiltrated. I'm not going to paint a rosy picture, a rosy prognosis, let me tell you that. Because there is no rosy, there's nothing rosy. If you open your eyes and you see that some of these patriotic organizations are, they've got a bigger headcount of feds and federal assets than they do of patriots. Trust me when I tell you that.
I heard recently, and this might be a little bit off the mark, but people were taking out restraining orders against the FBI. You know how the FBI has been using patsies to make it appear as though there are terrorist attacks that are going to happen by setting them up with finding dupes and, you know, giving them the, hey, do you think we should bomb this place, and giving them fake explosives and creating this big bust and media hype and saying, look, we thwarted a terrorist attack. Well, there are people now who are being harassed by the FBI that the FBI is trying to get people to carry out or be involved in drills or in the planning of terrorist attacks, who don't want any part of it and are having to take out. And I saw this on on RT, Max, I can't, he's an economist.
Max Kaiser. Yeah.
He was interviewing somebody, and the man he was interviewing was telling the story how, in his words, all terrorist attacks we've seen, including 9/11 until today, have been false flags perpetrated by our government or intelligence agencies and or the FBI. And he was explaining how people are literally getting restraining orders against the FBI because they are being harassed to the point that, you know, they're either going to be dragged into being a willing participant and dupe for a false flag, or they have to break their ties with
you know, and that's a very important point to make. Anyone who wants to be or who offers to be an informational asset or an operational asset for the FBI, you better know what you're doing, because, and I can speak from experience, when I was an operational asset for the FBI, they sat me down at a desk, and they said, here are some papers. You know, and I was doing this willingly, of course. And they handed me papers, and they said, okay, here are your rights. Basically, the paper should have been blank. But it was a multi-page indemnification agreement that said, you know, if we shoot you in the back of the head by accident, whoops, I'm sorry, you know, what, you can't sue us. Well, your estate can't sue us. And you might think, well, Matt, you know, how can that, you can't bind your estate from, you know, well, look, their lawyers are a whole lot better than your lawyer. Now, and then you're assigned a handler. By the way, Archangel never liked that title. Or liked that, you know, I don't have a handler. But the inside of the mechanism of the FBI or of the Department of Justice, when you operate in that capacity, you better know. You better know that you're just signing your life away. And you know, something happens. Too bad. But yes, you have sometimes the FBI, the agency, and it all depends too on the agency. I'm not talking bad against the FBI at this, in this context here, because there are agents who really want, and I've met many agents who are fantastic, God loving, God fearing men and women who really want to do the right thing. Unfortunately, at the upper levels, you've got people telling them, nah, you're not going to do that. And when I left, my last stint, and I know you probably won't believe this, because never would I do something like this. I had an FBI agent, I was sitting at a desk and I was going over and being debriefed from an operation that which they totally royally screwed up. And I could have had some good stuff on something. And this guy said something. Oh, and I had somebody who I knew, and this is another thing. This kind of plays into what I was talking about before. A so-called friend or associate, colleague, whatever you want to call them, but an arm's length friend, kind of an acquaintance, you might call him, come to my home and threaten me. Okay, so by the last day that I worked as an operational asset, I was in the office of the FBI's office, and this one agent said something really stupid. And, you know, he should have never said it. And it was something to the effect of, well, you know, it's too bad, basically too bad for you, and we're not going to do anything about it, and it's your tough luck, and just up your security, and, you know, if something happens to your family, well, sorry, we can't do much about it. But he said it in such a way that it caused me not to respond, but to react. And the way I reacted was to grab him by the lapels and I pushed him up against the wall. And when you do that to an FBI agent, let me tell you something, okay? That's frowned upon. It's frowned upon. Yeah. So the guy that I was working with pulled me off of the guy, and yeah. So that was my, that basically was the last time, and I was escorted out of the office. And I know it's hard for you guys to believe that I actually did that. It's a true story. Still remember his look on his face when I did that. They wasn't expecting it. And then look on my face when they dragged me out.
Wow.
Anyway, so there you go.
Halfway through the second hour here.
Yes.
844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944 is the number to call if you want to join us. We do have a few callers on the line. We're going to go to Maria in Virginia first. Author Maria. Hello, Maria.
Story.
You have to turn off that. You have to listen.
Yeah, because that's a long delay. We're gonna go to Karen in New Jersey. Karen in New Jersey, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, how are you guys?
Well, let us check. That looks good. Yeah, we're okay.
I just wanted to tell you, I made a trip over to Yale. My niece was graduating, and I know it's funny. Rest of the Star had said, I want to check out the secret society. Let me talk to your niece. But anyway, I never got to see that. But what I wanted to tell you was, not only were there meters on the street that you had to put your credit cards in, but the weird thing was, when I was going over the Tappan Zee Bridge, I'm like, that's weird. We didn't pay a toll. And then on the way back, there was no toll. So I came home and I Googled it, and sure enough, it's cashless now.
Yeah.
So my guess, did you know that?
I knew they were going to these scanners. Did you have a plaque in your window, or is it just via license plate?
No.
I'll tell you a story.
A few months ago when we were in Dallas for the Hear the Watchman conference, we rented a car and we went to Dealey Plaza and did some filming and some behind the scenes footage stuff we haven't released yet. But when returning the rental car, we learned there were tolls that had to be paid. And I forget what was it, like $40 worth of tolls just from driving through the city one day? Yeah. I mean, there were no signs. There was no toll booths.
Yeah, it is.
It's craziness.
And I saw on that, so I looked it up and it said, the future will begin on April 23rd, 2016. So I guess this is the new way of taking away cash. The April 23rd date will be part of our new message. It's like, okay, whoa, and there was no signs, nothing.
And where are you located? In what city?
I'm in New Jersey, and I went up across the Tappan Zee to get to, it was New Hartford, Connecticut at Yale, and I was surprised because there was no toll either way, and I thought maybe I went through an easy pass and didn't know. But so I Googled it, and sure enough, it's cashless, but there was no signs anywhere. So I guess I'll get a bill in the mail, according to my license plate.
Oh, you can count on it. Yeah, I'm not sure how they do that. I thought it was all through what do you call those passes?
The Easy Pass.
Easy Pass. I thought that's what they were going to. But
I don't have that. So are they just going to do this with everything? Go cashless where it's like right under your nose and you have no idea what's happening?
I mean, eventually they're going to get to the point, where it will all be digital.
Yeah.
And you will... And cash will not be part of it. But I believe that there has to be either an economic collapse, there has to be some kind of national disaster or national change from an international disaster that leads us to that point. I don't believe it can just be slowly dried up.
I think they're preparing us, Karen. What you just described, they're preparing us for this, you know. And I received a letter in the mail myself from my bank saying, "Here is your new debit card, and we had to issue this because your other one was compromised in a widespread bank thing, whatever happened." And of course, they have the chip in this one.
Right.
And, you know, so we can all see where this is headed. I mean, it's all going to be cashless, and because you cannot control what you cannot see, and they can't see cash transactions.
And the meters, the parking meters, you had to put in your credit card.
Yeah.
And they have an app, and it took us an hour to get my other sister to try to figure out the app, and we were running late, so I'm like, the heck with it, let me put my credit card in there.
Yeah.
This is nuts. I said, I'm just not ready for this yet. And then you go to the store and you swipe and it says, no, you can't swipe. You got to put it in where the chip is.
Exactly.
It's so annoying.
Everything's getting harder and harder. Cash is going to be gone before you know it.
And what I recommend people do, Karen, this is what where you can, and now a bridge toll would be, you couldn't probably do it this way, at least not on Tappan Zee, and I think perhaps a Verrazano Bridge. I'm not sure. But, I recommend people going to the bank, getting the cash out, and then going to the stores, using cash only as opposed to credit cards or debit cards. But see, today's millennials, they think, oh, it's, you know, this is so convenient. 47% actually carry cash.
You remember that statistic from earlier this week. Yeah. I saw that too, yeah.
Fight back by using cash. I'll say, let me send you my bill. I'll send my cash in the mail. I'll send pennies and stuff in the mail for you.
Yeah.
They like that. So, one other thing was, I heard you talking about the guy that Chance was talking about, the guy that lost his dog because he couldn't pay for it.
Yes. He couldn't pay for the food.
Do you think we could get like a Yeah, well, we were on chat. We were saying, well, it's too bad. Maybe we could set up a fund or send the dog food. I could call PetSmart, send the dog food to him if he could get the dog back.
You know, I'd recommend anyone. Yeah, certainly it is. And Chance has a better handle on that. So you can deal directly with American Survival Wholesale. Contact American Survival Wholesale.
Chance has been working closely with the gentleman.
Okay.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Talk to him.
And will you guys be at Hear the Watchman or Knoxville, or you're not going to be flying?
Knoxville, no. We're not going to. We will not be able to attend. Just to be clear, we're not going to be able to attend Knoxville. So.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Very good. Thanks for taking
my
call.
Thank you, Karen. Right. You have a good night.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's see if we can go back to Maria. Maria, you're live on the Hagman and the Hagman Report.
Howdy. Hey. You've got about a 35-second delay, so if you had me on before, I was listening by speakers. I'm sorry if I missed you.
No problem.
It's all right.
Glad we got you now.
Okay, good. I just wanted to... could I say a word to our fellow listeners here? Would
sure.
you mind? Okay.
That's kind of what you're doing.
Hagman family, Doug and Joe are working incredibly long hours doing all this research and stuff for us, and a lot of it we don't even know about. A lot of it's even boots on the ground, which is very time-consuming. And they poured out their lives, and they're struggling financially and everything else in order to get us information that we really need. They should not have to be selling coffee mugs in order to fund their program. Please, we've got to support these guys. We got to pray for them, Doug and Joe, and while we're at it, Eric the Tech, too, okay? And their families. We got to support them in prayer. We got to support them in financially. You think about what you pay for a Big Mac at McDonald's. If you just sent them, if 1,000 people sent them the price of a Big Mac, that would make a big difference. If 1,000 people sent them the price of a cup of coffee at Starbucks, that would make a big difference. You know, there are little things we can cut back on and do without in order to keep this going. It's easy to take them for granted, like you take your mom and your dad for granted, figuring they'll always be there for you and they're okay, they're taking care of us. Well, we cannot take them for granted. We've got to back them up. We've got to support them. We're part of the team here. We're not just spectators and listeners, we are part of a team. We've got to support them. So please, and pray, because they're up against kinds of attacks that we probably don't even know about. And on top of the practical stuff or the legal stuff or whatever, there's spiritual warfare. So we've just got to really... This is not business as usual. It's not normal life. This isn't the America that we're used to. We're living in a different country now. We're on a battlefield, and so we've got to gear up and be fellow soldiers along with Doug and Joe. And Dave Hodges and the other guys out there, too. We got to back them, all of them, okay? I love you guys.
Wow, thank you. Yes, and you know, you're a big part of... You're a big part of the research, and of course, you know, folks, it's difficult when you do research 24/7 or there seemingly.
Especially with my brain.
But you know, Maria Canise, she's the author of Prepare for Persecution. If there was ever a book out there.
And many other writings, yeah.
Yes, but Prepare for Persecution. Go to Amazon and grab her book. And I say that because it contains both information and inspiration.
Yeah, and while we got you, Maria, I want to tell you that my mother-in-law, I gave her a few of your books, and I'm not sure which one that she read that it inspired her so much, but she wanted me to... She asked me if I was able to reach out to you and to thank you. Because it really helped her see things in a different way, or I'm not sure exactly what the context was, but she was very blessed by your book, and she wanted me to thank you. And I haven't had a chance to do that, so.
Well, bless her. Thank you. Please give her a hug for me.
Will do.
That's wonderful. I'm looking forward to meeting her when we get to heaven, and I'll introduce her to my husband, Ray.
There you go. Thank you. All right.
And you guys, I want you guys to meet him so bad. You're his kind of people. He used to say about guys like you, they've got heart.
We do.
You really, yeah.
Thank you, Maria.
You're his kind of guy, and vice versa. I just know it.
Well, thanks for
calling. God bless you guys.
God bless you, too. You have a good night.
Okay, before thanks for all you're doing.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You know, before we go back to the phones, Joe, I want to mention, and I don't know how many people know, you speak about selling things. If you're a business owner out there, are you a business owner out there? If you're a small business owner, maybe in listening to this, or well, maybe you've got your own website or YouTube channel or whatever. Have you heard about SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman? SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. Have you heard about them? They've got promotional products to keep your name in front of customers. Anything you can imagine, they've got.
During our commercial breaks, if you watch on YouTube, you'll see their commercials come up.
And they can provide you with logo design service. You can add your logo to everything, branded apparel, whether it's embroidery, digital, screen printing. They can even give you provide you with checks and financial forms, e-checks, business stationery, from business cards to letterheads. I mean, they've got everything, envelopes, the paper kind, the Tyvek kind, full-color printing. Brochures, postcards, catalogs, presentation folders, retail packaging, tax forms, stamps and labels, direct mail. They got it all. They got it all. Folks, visit SafeguardMidwest.com. That's SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. One more time, SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. They're our partners as well in our radio program, SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. And what a list that is. So if you're a small business, or even if you have a channel or on YouTube, or you want to branch out, brand out, there you go. SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. I can tell you, it's a Christian-owned company. We've used them to our extreme satisfaction. They'll go 110%. And I know people say 110%. Yeah. No, I mean, they certainly go far above anything.
Very customer service oriented. Yeah. Very helpful.
Please. Yeah. Even something as small as business cards, SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman.
I even get a text every once in a while asking how I'm doing from.
Yeah. Christian, very nice, very, very good Christians, and it's a great business. SafeguardMidwest.com/Hagman. All right.
We're going to first time caller, Sandra from North Carolina. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Oh, thank you. I want to follow up with the Maria's call as an intercessor.
Okay.
I really would like to send out a call for people who feel like they are called to pray, to really step up to the plate and give it all you got. And I also want to talk to people that are building strongholds with negative words that are predicting a false future. We have to break through not only for our family's needs and the people of God's needs, but we also have spiritual breakthroughs that we have to get through so the people that are in the physical realm can get through the breach. Does that make sense?
Well, with the what you said about words, there's a lot there in the Bible. It talks about how our tongues, you know, in one scripture says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison.
Exactly.
It's also described as a double-edged sword. And we need to learn how to be careful with the words that we say and what we say and how we say them. Because God judges each and every word, not one word goes by the wayside.
And I also want to add this to for encouragement for people that really they don't know what to say. If they don't do anything but say restore, and whenever they think of it, if they'll just say restore, that will help. And the prayers of a righteous man avails much power. And I want to point out that those words that we send out are like heat-seeking missiles, but they're a lot more powerful than that. So just keep that in mind, that you do have a lot of power that you're sending out. And I also had just a little insight on how that works. With intercessors taking shifts in rotations all around the earth, we are sending out like volleys against the high places. And it's just amazing how much power we do have. We can win.
Yes, we can. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. We can win.
Anything else, Sandra?
I believe that's it.
Well, thank you for calling. And no longer will you be a first-time caller.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Thanks,
a good night.
It was a wonderful call.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good night. We're going to another first-time caller next, Steve in Florida. Steve, you are live on the Hagman & Hagman Report. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Joe? It's good to be a first-time caller on your show.
Oh, we're glad to
have
you.
Yes, thank you very much. I think I've been, I've been listening for about a couple months, and I want to thank you for being a alternative, let's just say, media source, although I don't consider you like Fox News or anything like that. I want to thank you, because if it wasn't for both of you talking about the target transgender issue, I would not have known about it. And by the way, I'm a Christian that when I hear about social ills, I actually react, and I go to the streets with signs to warn my fellow Americans about ungodliness that's taking place in our culture.
Go ahead and expand on that just briefly. You're just to clarify for me exactly what you mean.
Oh, what I mean is this, is that because we have been having so many social ills, what I mean by that is, like, I guess you would say, like, I may not even be clear, but what I'm trying to say is this, is that we have such pathetic things going on in American culture, and if we as Christians don't go out into the world and let's just say, tell our culture what's going on, they're going to be blind.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that's an important aspect. You see, and I think this speaks to what I've been saying as well. We as Christians have to be proactive. We cannot be spectators. We're not spectators in the sport of life, in the game that's afoot. We are not spectators. Regardless, even if we consider ourselves not involved in what's taking place, whether it be the homosexual transgender bathroom issue, if you think to yourself, well, we're not involved in that. I'm not involved in that because it doesn't apply to me. Oh, it most certainly does apply to you. And not only are you relegating yourself to a spectator status by not being involved, they're using you and others like you, not you personally, to win. I mean, it's off your back. So I understand what you're saying. And so you bring up an important point, I believe, and that is to go out be Christians, be active Christians, right? I mean, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, sir. And if you don't mind me to interject, what I'm trying to say is that to be, I guess you say, I don't even want to say Christian campaigners, but I don't, you know, I guess the best way to say it is just go out there and, with a secular message, such as a result of your show, I had a message, and I need to ask you before I get off, but my message was this, that, the U.S. Government is, U.S. government is, promoting unisex bathrooms in the public school. That's my sign. And, that was my secular message. And on the opposite side of my sign, I said, homeschool your kids. And I was out there, in Lakeland, Florida, since you guys did that. And I can just praise God because, many people would roll down their window, and then I was in a busy intersection. They would roll down their window and create conversation. And because I'm a born again Christian, that would open up doors, to possibly win them to Jesus Christ. You get what I mean, sir?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect.
Yeah.
Because yeah, if you're not, if you're not in the game, you can't make the plays. And if you don't make the plays, then what have, and Steve Quayle often says this to people, what have you done recently to, especially to his critics, what have you done recently to win souls over to Jesus? And that's what you're doing. So there you have it. That's a textbook example. And thank you for doing that. Thank you all, really,
because, I don't have a television in my house, and to be quite frank with you, I don't really need it. But I occasionally get on Wi-Fi, and I discovered you all a couple months ago as a result of the Wi-Fi that's offered at my apartment complex in Lakeland, Florida.
Cool. Lakeland's a good area. I've been down to Lakeland. I like Lakeland. I like the area down there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So I know where you're.
If I can leave the listeners with this, I was studying James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you, and then it goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then I was praying this afternoon, by the way, for you all as well, and then I went to Ephesians 5:11 where it says, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
So thank you very much, sir. I'm really ecstatic that I got on tonight.
No, we are too, Steve. We're just,
okay.
No, we really appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. And don't be a stranger. And thanks for listening and tell others about the program as well. We really appreciate you being a soldier out there for truth and, righteousness.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And have a great night, Joe.
You too, Steve. Have a great night. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. All right. We got a few minutes before the top of the hour break.
Again.
Folks, if you want to call in and join us on this Open Line Wednesday, the number is 844-769-2944. I almost forgot it there. 844-769-2944.
It's unlisted, guys. It's unlisted.
We're going to go to Bill in Illinois. Bill, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Doug. How long do I got?
You got about
6 minutes.
Five minutes.
All right, I'll try to be quick. I got an idea for your listeners, and maybe we can spread it to a few other shows. I think I sent you a podcast from Chris Ann Hall. I don't know if you got a chance to hear it. It was entitled "How to Bring the Government to Its Knees." Did you guys happen to hear
that?
Yes. Well, I think that's a very powerful thing. That if we can start having the idiot politician of the week or idiot lawmaker or, you know, whatever, something in the news or something that's getting us all riled up, put the information on your website and let's slam them with snail mail, email, phone calls. It was powerful what she said about how the judge turned, you know, rescinded the order to not talk or whatever by the lady that was part of the Bundy.
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
was shot. I think with your group and maybe Dave Hodges and even Dr. Brewer, I tell you what, you know, this is how we push back and without, and we're keeping it peaceful. And the other way we can use this is we pull up a listing for a real liberal area or an area where there's something going on, whether it be abortion or the BLM, and call the residents of that area. Let's just phone bank it with everyone that's, you know, that way we're yeah. working. And by making phone calls, and we can engage people in these areas in conversation. You know, for instance, Illinois is controlled by the Democrats in Chicago. And our Speaker of the House, Madigan, has been the Speaker for, I think, over 30 years. And he runs the state.
Yep.
Okay, and one of the ideas that I've had is we need people to go up there and just engage people, hand out brochures, hand out information. And like when they had the long lines at the TSA, that would be a great time to just go to the airport in your area when this is going on, hand out literature, print stuff out, and start handing things out to people in line so they know what their rights are. Give them something appropriate about the Constitution. This is just an idea, and it may not be an expensive idea, but it's something where all of us can participate. You guys do a lot to share, and I learn a lot, and I appreciate your show. And I try to share your show with my friends. I try to wake people up through education. The problem is people who aren't Christians, they can only see so far down the rabbit hole.
Hmm. That's a great statement.
But
a great observation.
My idea is, you know, if we can all work together and do this, you know, Dave Hodges has a great audience. Ted Brewer's got a great audience. Yep. Alex Jones does. I have no contact with Alex Jones, but you do.
Yep.
You could probably get a message to him. If we could all do this and focus our energy, this is like the power of a good punch. Focus in. You know, when you learn how to punch, you start out, you're aiming for a silver dollar, and then when you become a black belt, you aim for a dime. And we need to focus our energy on the weakest point. And all these liberals are a weak point because they're all weak people. I don't mean liberals. I mean these satanic, demonic, infested politicians that are running our country. But
you're
guys,
precise.
I pray for you, and one of these days, I'm going to be buying people's products and making donations, but for now, I'm in training, and I'm.
That's right, brother. All you need to do, Bill, is just spread the word and pray. And you know what? Keep doing what you're doing because you're making a difference. You really are.
I'm trying, and I got one more question. Did either of you guys get your black belts yet in Aikido or Wing Chun?
Not yet.
No.
Come on,
no.
Guys, start training. I tell you what, I'm going to send you some cool videos. I want you guys to watch them.
All right.
I already have sent you some cool videos. I hope you watch them.
I know exactly what you're doing. Yeah, I know. Yes. Thank you for that, by the way.
So
now I'm getting too old.
You can do it yourself. Hey, Yip Man, let me tell you a quick story, and then I know you got to go to break. Bruce Lee trained with Yip Man. He was the founder or one of the greatest teachers of Wing Chun. When Bruce Lee was in his prime, he went back to China to visit Yip Man, his teacher, who was in his late 80s. Bruce Lee and him sparred. The story by his students, Bruce Lee's students, was Bruce Lee could not touch Yip Man. Now, if you guys want to see some good movies, there's a Ip Man series. It's IP Man with a gentleman playing Ip Man named Donnie Yen. He's a famous Chinese actor. Good guy. The most recent one, he fights Mike Tyson. That's the question everybody wants to know. Could Bruce Lee have beat Mike Tyson? Well, it's interesting to watch this guy. He does Wing Chun classically and it's common sense, just like Dave Hodges. It's common sense self-defense. But when you lose, when you sharpen your sword, realize you're a sword too. And if you can use your hands and feet in self-defense, you don't have to draw your gun.
That's right, Bill. We are up against the break.
Bill, gotta cut you loose, brother. But thank you.
Thanks for the call. We'll work on our black belts. Have a good night, Bill.
I'm still working on buckling my regular belt.
We'll be right back after these short messages with another hour of calls from our listeners. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.